Well, good morning. Thank you everyone for being here and making effort to be here. Because it's the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month, and the last few months we've actually had other brothers preach. But from the beginning of this year we had the thought, or at least I was trying to convey, the theme of loving one another. And that would be both our love for God, our love for one another, and our love for those who aren't yet members of Christ's church. And so I had a thought today, and where I wanted to go was, you know, when we read the Bible, it reveals a sharp contrast between worldly love and godly love. And so one of those most obvious ways that we see the world's love is a selfish, self-focused attitude. It's about what can I get? What can I get out of this relationship to benefit me? Whereas the contrast, it's a selfless love that comes from us. What can I give to the other people around me? It benefits by giving and serving them. It's a sacrificial love, we would say. Now think about this. This is how I express the thought. Worldly love can be turned on and off like a light switch. And a lot of it has to, in times, deals with how we feel. Well, I don't feel like loving. So we shut it off. And many times it's like a limited type love. Sometimes we can even call this, I don't know if we've heard this, or many of us have, but in a worldly sense, it's the silent treatment toward other people. It's where it can be manipulative emotionally to people. And a lot of times it's not always directly to do, but it's to control other people. If we have something we feel about someone, we can control that by not saying anything. And then we also have the cold shoulder type attitude of loving people, where it's deliberate. It's a deliberate act to ignore. When someone's asking for help or someone needs to deal with something in life with another person in our relationships, we kind of put it off. Because there's times we do keep records of wrong, even though the love of God doesn't show records of wrong, right? It holds no records of wrong to one another, but it's just the temptation to hold things in and not say anything. But loving, and that's the title of the message today, is loving the way of God. It requires us to recognize the love of God. I mean, this is the whole concept of humanity, is that since we were separated, and we have been because of sin, we can be reconciled to God, understanding His love for us, and how that love will overflow to the next person around us. And again, because we recognize the love of God, we can respond to it, and we're able to serve other people that way, by the love of God. A Christian is one who lives out God's character. Think about it. You live that out. It's where actions, what we do, speaks even sometimes louder than words. I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak and be honest and open and contact each other and verbally say things, but what we do as people shows God we love people around us. What we do, serving and giving, this is what I'm talking about. Our outward expression, and I think about this as the church, our outward expression of love is rooted in God's own love that He had for us. Amen. Letting His Son die in our place for when we fall short. Where other people will be drawn to Him because it's seen in our lives and it's an attraction. When people see the kingdom of God and the love that's supposed to be in that setting, it's an attraction. People, ultimately, at the end of each day, we want to be loved. Nobody wants to live life lonely. No one wants to live life every day wondering if somebody has something against me, walking on eggshells. We want to be loved by God and know He loves us. And we want to know that people around us truly love us from a godly heart and perspective. So, carried along in the message today is the lesson from last week, was it, on the mercy. Mercy will be shown to those who are merciful. Matthew 5:7. That compassion, that heart to really be able to forgive when we're sinned against, and or if we sin against other people, and we'll see that a little bit today. But loving the way of God, I have 3 points. The church's relationship to each other, whether it be the local congregation or the church universally, our relationship, it should be even across the boards. I will say that, and I won't preach it yet, but point 2, love that expands to everybody. That's the love of God. And a love like God. Loving like God. Loving like God. And the church's relationship to one another, in 1 John 4:11-12, John says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." No one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He's given us His Spirit. Capital S. If we try to know God in any other way but loving one another in the church, God doesn't abide in us. Because the love outside the church is worldly love. And we've all tasted that. It's inconsistent with what God's love is. So as God has sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, we're to love one another in a similar, self-sacrificing way. It's a sacrificial love. We need to be a member of Christ's church to understand the love of God, because the love of God, keep this in mind, isn't in the world. Yes, there's all kinds of ideas of what love is in the world, but even this world thinks that lust is love. And look where that gets them. The love that we're to have is found in His church, the church of Christ. We boast in that. Christ's church, the people of Him. Love is only perfected in God's church. That's where it's perfected. This is what John says in 1 John. It's perfected in God's church. Not in the world. Not selfishly loving a couple people. Loving as God does, both His people. And we'll get to those people in the world. We'll never find perfected love in the world. It's just not there. No matter how much we decide that that's a better choice for us, it's not in the world. It's in here. 1 John 2:5 states, "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God," here again is the word, "perfected in him. By this we know we're in him." We're in God because of the love that we have for each other. That's who God's character is. God is love. God is love. And it needs to carry out in the way we perform that. It doesn't matter how much we abide in His Word if we don't love. Loving God is more than just an emotional response or a feeling. Well, I don't feel close today, so I'm not going to talk to Him. Right? Sometimes we just run on our emotions. Things come up and, oh, I'm not going to. We need to be close to God despite what we're going through, good or bad. It's a response lived out in obedience. Jesus wasn't excited to go to the cross, but He obeyed from the heart because He knew that was the will of God that would benefit other people. And for us, it's the same thing. We obey from the heart to teach others the truth so that they can be saved. And it's going to show in how we respond and live out our lives with each other. In Romans 5:5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has been given to us." The point I made here is we're without excuse since God has done all the hard work for us. When we made Jesus Lord and called on His name and were baptized for the remission of our sins to be forgiven of those, God saved us and gave us His gift so we could understand what it means to love. It's not like He leaves us alone. And we can practice that. It's a practice. It's an action. It's not just, like mentioned last week, the man who says, "I love God, but hates his brother, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him." There's something serious about that. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we read, "Remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor of love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." It's an obedient faith. Faith isn't some blind faith that we believe a mystical God or our relationships are somewhat spiritual, but we're not really sure. It's we respond by the faith we have in obeying God's word to do what He says. It's a working faith. It does something. It doesn't sit, as I've shared before, it just doesn't sit there and do nothing all week long. It does something, whether it's reaching out to the next person and seeing how they're doing. You may not be able to get out and about. Many of us have physical challenges, but please don't hide behind that to give a helping-hearted conversation and say, "I'm just thinking of you." Maturing is in labor to love others in the faith. That's how we mature. And your labor of love involves sacrifice. It does. We're not trained to do this on our own efforts. In and of ourselves, most people would be selfish human beings. That's the way life is in the world. We just choose to do our own. But it's a dedicated and a willingness to go the extra mile for the sake of another person. And I ask this question, do I do this before God? Everything we have to do in love is before God, and that's the motivation. Because God did it for us, we do it for others. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 12, He says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and," see this, "everyone else, just as ours does for you." Paul's saying, "I love you guys, you love one another." And as a result, growing in the Spirit is the fruit of it. When we grow in the Spirit, we grow by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. That's in Galatians 5. We know that's a common passage we use. But it's an increased love. As you grow and you mature closer to God, we're to love each other. That's a command in John 13, 34, and 35, right? We're commanded, as He loved us, we ought to love one another. And it's an overflowing love, and as we grow and mature, we can love more and more people. I think sometimes it's easy to love a group, because God doesn't show favoritism or partiality. His love is generalized. He loves everyone. It's just, the concept is overwhelming. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. We've heard that expression, but He loves people. He wants everybody to come to a knowledge of the truth to serve Him. And He wants our love to overflow. It's an overflowing love. He says that your love may increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. See the outward focus as a Christian? It's never about us alone. And it's always about relationships. When love doesn't increase and overflow, we stay infants in the faith. We never truly mature. Love matures our souls. It matures who we are if we truly love the way God does. In Hebrews 5:11 through 14, the writer says, we have much to say about this, and I think even including in the whole definition of the love of God, but it's hard for you to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand what we're saying. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. A love that expands to everyone is the second point. To one another. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of the faith, the family of believers, especially the faith. I mean, what I see here is if we can't get that right, we're never going to save the people in the world. So we have to work to truly be of the household of faith, working together collectively. Because there we can have the compassion in Galatians 6:10 for one another. That mercy, that compassion. In Ephesians 4:32, the kindness. Be kind to one another. There's the one another passages. Be kind. Sometimes it's enough just to be kind to somebody. And 1 Thessalonians 5:13, that forgiveness. That forgiveness that's always a debt to owe others. Being considerate. Having compassion. Because I made the statement that there's some people that are suffering and they're in tougher shape than you. We get up sometimes and we say, well, no one's in rougher shape than I feel today, God. But there's always somebody that's going to be in need more than you. It's always commendable when people are physically challenged and they're struggling and they're having a hard time. But you can just tell there's something about them that draws them close. They love God so much. They do anything for people. And those people are so much to be commended and appreciated. Because it's so easy to just roll back over in bed and do nothing. You know, don't hold on to bad feelings. Last week I talked about grudges. We gotta let go. You gotta let go. You gotta let go of those bad feelings. Jesus never carried bad feelings. He struggled, and things bad happened to him, and he was sinned against. But you can't carry that. Jesus did it for us. In that sense, He does it now to forgive us of those bad feelings, but let go. Do it. You can do it. In Hebrews 12:15, a very powerful passage is to let no bitter root grow up to cause trouble and defile people. It's pretty hard to win people to Jesus if we're so troubled that we're causing trouble. You never want to be a troublemaker in God's church. A gossiper, a slanderer, all of those ugly things that even Paul says, try not to let a sinful, unbelieving heart that comes in and defile people that way. We have to be honest and open. And if, you know, bitter roots can cause not just the trouble, but defile people. oh yeah, that group of people, they're evil. And the next thing you know it, the church is divided. Shouldn't be this way. Looking out. This is what I say. Looking out for one another is more like it. If you have a hard time, be honest and open, and let's work together to resolve anything. There's nothing that we shouldn't be able to resolve if we're expanding our love to everybody and to everyone else. I emphasize that because it's an outward focus. It's not a worldly love. It's an expanding love that's overflowing toward the lost and the unsaved. That's Jesus' mission was always about that, right? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save. You want to know the will of God and to follow Jesus like a Christian? Oh, okay. I need to seek and to save the lost, just like Jesus. Christian Jesus. The word seek here means to search for. People aren't going to come knocking on your door. Can you bring me to service? I want to know the God you believe in. It's how you live your life. People see that. Wow, there's something about this guy. I want to know the God he serves. And so it's a searching. Seeking and saving. Searching for the souls of people who want to be Christians. You know, is my love for the lost, because we claim to be saved. We claim to be the Church of Jesus Christ, the saved people, as Christians. Well, is my love for the lost heartfelt, or is it hollow? Are we numb to people's spiritual condition? Do we kind of just accept people that's where they're at? You know, in Matthew 9:35, that's why Jesus, knowing his purpose and mission, he told his disciples that were following him, the few that were, ask the Lord of harvest to help us out. Because the workers will, and they always will be few. When you think of the church collectively, of all the people that have ever been faithful on the earth, very few people actively share the good news with other people, making the most of every opportunity. A Christian makes the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And that's what furthers God's kingdom. That's working in God's church. Let us not be deceived that, yes, we have jobs, we contribute to the contribution of the fellowship, we put our 2 cents in. It's about reaching out to the next guy who's lost. And then loving like God. Loving like God is the third point. You know, we talked about Paul being disowned by people in our class Wednesday night, and I had written this out earlier before that, but Jesus, it wasn't easy for Jesus to love even people around him, his immediate family, in regards to them, how they viewed him. They said that, you know, you're out of your mind. His family told Jesus he was out of his mind for what he was doing. When you're seeking and saving the lost, people think you're out of your mind. And Jesus defines his true family. This is interesting too. Whoever does the will of my Father is my brother, my sister, and mother. And the will of God is to love as He does. It surpasses even, I would dare say, our limitations of unconditional. That's God, our love is conditional. And again, God's love, what we would say, is unconditional. You know, Peter in Mark 10:28 says, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. We're there. This is what we have. And when we sacrifice those things, they were fishermen, they gave up their nets, their little boats, but even their worldly relationships for Jesus and His kingdom. And that's what Jesus says. You'll receive brothers, sisters, and mothers in verse 29 and 30. In John 15:13, greater love, again, loving like God, no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is what Jesus said in his ministry to people. And Jesus conveys the ultimate form of love, right? Laying your life down beyond just a general goodwill. We all do good deeds, I'm sure of that. This love is active and sacrificial that Jesus had. It was daily. Jesus sacrificed himself for all people who would ever live and whoever will live until he comes again, which is amazing. It's such an extended love that for the short time we're here on the earth, we don't have the power that Jesus did to love that carried. Well, again, maybe we do have that love because it's from God that it'll extend. It does extend into heaven if we do love. If Jesus can do this, what sacrifices can we make for other people? I thought about this myself. Boy, please trust that when I say this, I hold myself strongly accountable. Changes your life. Changes your life when you read the Word of God and you really think about what it means to love people day in and day out. And not just a select few. But when relationships run deep, when we deeply have cares and concerns for others, we begin to just start understanding God's true love. And then we have the forgiveness. As I mentioned earlier, we need to forgive and be forgiven. It goes both ways. The closest relationships will always be the most challenging relationships we have. The closer you get to people, the longer you've lived with them, the longer you've been with them, those are the most challenging relationships. It's easier to forgive a guy that you don't have to worry about ever seeing again that may cut you off on the road. But it's not as easy to forgive somebody that sinned against you and you never deal with it. Once and for all. You got to forgive. Even when we don't feel excited about somebody. That's conditional. Is there anyone I wouldn't lay my life down for the congregation? If we're in Christ's kingdom, Jesus said, no greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He said, you are my friends. So again, would you lay your life down for everyone in the congregation? And again, some of us do need to heal. And forgiveness will do this, both from God and each other. Forgive as Christ forgave you. As God has an unwavering commitment to his church, right? Unwavering commitment. Let us have an unwavering commitment to his people in the church. And even those who would receive him in the future. Jesus loved us consistently with dedication. And he lived out the love of God. And as we're commanded to love one another, may our love overflow to those outside the church. And the invitation I have is short, but love's got to be the motivation behind our service to God and everyone else. That's it. There's no doctrinal position we can take if we don't love. It means nothing. Paul says, if I could fathom all mysteries, if I can speak tongues of angels, but have not love, it gains nothing for anybody around me. So we have to be motivated by love, and that's why it's an emphasis for the church to hear. As we increase our love, only then can it overflow and extend to all. Our commitment to God and each other is not an option. It is a command if we're truly Christians. To do it God's way, to forgive God's way, to love God's way, to do what we do for one another God's way. If the life I live, or is my life, an example to the lost and dying around me, if you don't see love as God does, if you don't see that, you can by becoming a disciple of Jesus. And I just had a simple dotted verse that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that everyone who believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, it's thrown out there. But if there's anybody who wants to know the love of God, it starts by following Jesus and reading His Word and following His example. So if there's anyone here that has not done so, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.